Well, hello and welcome back to Dating Funnies. Hope everyone had a great week. Been kind of fun this week, in so much I've gotten a few emails from several of our listeners, so I thought I'd kind of touch on some of their stories and how they might reflect to you, or some of the things that I see them talk about are things that I've experienced too. First and foremost, I did get an email from one of my listeners that talked about my audio levels. So my apologies. Sometimes I think I talk too loud because I think I'm starting to lose my hearing. Maybe back from the rock and roll days, my hearing's now going downhill. So my apologies if the level isn't as great as I'd hoped. I'll work on doing that. I really don't have any fancy audio equipment here. I've kind of did this whole Dating Funnies thing as more of a something fun and funny to do, and to see if there would be an audience to listen to some of my silly stories. I will say a couple things reading over some of the emails I got this week is I'd heard at some place, and it makes sense to me, that women choose who they want to sleep with. Men take what they can get. So with that said, it kind of made me think, well, you know, sometimes it kind of feels that way being a man. And so how can we change that, both from a woman's perspective, where she gets to choose from a better group of men, and we men also have the chance to not just accept what we get, but choose who we want. And so one of the books I'm reading right now is called The Law of Attraction. It kind of falls in line with the book The Secret. And in The Secret, it says, you put it out to the universe and it'll come to you. But that's not really what the law of attraction or the secret really is saying. What it's saying is, yeah, you can put it out to the universe by putting down goals and objectives, but then I want you to follow your nudges. Nudges being your behavior, or how you're going to research something, or how you're going to act in certain situations. And through that open thought process, you'll change the course of what you're trying to do. And it kind of reminds me of a little conversation I had with my 7-year-old grandson and my 5-year-old granddaughter. They're concerned about bad guys. What do they do if they run into a bad guy? How can they tell who is a bad guy? So one of the things I shared with them that my grandson has really taken to heart is I said, you have to walk tall, meaning that you walk with confidence. You walk with your shoulders back, your head held high, and bad people are not attracted to you because you become a threat to them. And so maybe we can apply that to our dating. Maybe we approach, or like I have on several occasions, I just kind of go on these dates and my expectations are so low because I've been beat up so many times. People show up, they're not who they say they are. They don't look like their pictures. They're, you know, you don't hike like me. I don't play golf, I don't ski, so therefore we're not a match. Or if you drink wine, you have a drinking problem, you know. So you get beat up enough times, and next thing you know, sadly, we start believing what other people are telling us, which is wrong, and that self-talk just kills us, to where we start attracting those type of people. And I know that's not what I'm looking for, but I seem to go through this run of people that are just the opposite of what I'm looking for. So I'm going to work on changing my mindset so I can attract better people. So let me share a couple of stories here this week, kind of see how they ring true for you or not. I got an email from someone by the letters CMR. They talk about how she or he met a gentleman for coffee. He said he was a professor at a large university. Said the conversation was pleasant, but then he went on to talk about how he didn't speak to his family in years and how his brother or brothers cut him off. Yeah, those are reasonable red flags to find out what is their relationship with their family. Why are they not having a good family dynamic? To me, I'm inquisitive, so I'd ask more if they wanted to share. Well, that's kind of interesting. Why do you feel that you got cut off? And if they don't want to talk about, it's a first meeting. They're supposed to be fun and fun-y conversations. And maybe that's something they'll share with them later. But I agree with you. That's a big red flag. So then they go on and share another story. She had a date with someone, and she ended up standing the person up. As the meeting time grew closer, she says, I just could not force myself to go meet him. Nothing he said or did, just a feeling that I didn't want to show the effort to meet someone new. Obviously, he texted and called me a bad name, and I deserved it. You know, I'm going to agree with you. You did deserve it if you didn't have the courtesy to at least text him and say, I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling comfortable about meeting. You know, the conversations were fine, but I'm just not ready to meet people, so good luck. I think that's common courtesy. Ghosting is not fun. It's not fair to the other person because it leaves them. I mean, how would you feel if someone ghosted you? It'd leave you wondering, what did I say? What did I do? Why do they have to treat me this way? I think we can all learn to be better at that for sure. They also talked about how they met a nice man and then they talked, had a nice time. It was running late, and her date asked if she wanted to watch a movie at his home that night. And she said, yeah, sure, why not? She's feeling good about the person. But then when she got home and told her sons that that's what she's planning on doing, they kind of put the brakes on it. Yeah, wait a minute, Mom, let's be safe about this. In that spirit, she chose not to go. So the question I would have is, did you at least text him or call him and say, hey, look, I felt good about our conversation, our date, but my sons feel like I should get to know you a little bit more before I go over to your house. I think that would have been a good conversation, either on a phone call or a text, to at least let that person know. But if you didn't go at all, and then he agreed to meet you again, my hat's off to him. Because me, if you say you're going to do something, then you don't show up, you don't return the text, or you don't text me, let me know what's going on, then I can only assume that this is how your behavior is going to be going forward. Because remember, in my playbook, if this is the best it's ever going to be out of the gate, lack of communication, not getting back to somebody, then what's it going to be like after you've been dating for 6 months? When it becomes routine, when the sparkle's gone out of the relationship, the newness has gone away. So I'm a big fan of communicating. I'm not perfect. No one else is either. I do my very best, but I like to circle back and get back to people. And it's too bad that when she met up with him again, she got her coffee, walked over to his table, he had his cards ready because they're going to play cards at a coffee shop. And then before we started, he asked why I decided not to come over and watch the movie, and he was very upset. So if he's upset that she got input from her sons, shame on him. But maybe his frustration was the fact that you didn't communicate with him that night, or maybe you did. His behavior isn't excusable either. You know, he could have been a lot nicer and said, hey, disappointed you didn't come over, but I can certainly understand and appreciate your son's concerns. So, yeah, let's sit down and enjoy some cards. We'll talk more. And, you know, when you and your sons feel more comfortable, then we can revisit you coming over and I'll make you dinner, have a glass of wine, we'll watch a movie. That would have been the appropriate way to address it, in my opinion. If anyone else has any input, suggestions, or thoughts on that, feel free to send those to me. I'll give you my email address at the end of the podcast. Now, I got an update from Melissa. Remember, Melissa was concerned about this great friend that she had, and then they finally crossed the line and started being intimate with one another. Well, she sends me her information this week, and she says things are getting better with her friend and their quote-unquote relationship. Interesting, she goes on to say, I'm learning to let things go and try not to control the situation. So yes, trying to control situations is not good, it's not healthy. So it's good that she recognizes it's time to just relax, and as she says, enjoy the time we have together without the added pressure. She says she's found that this approach is helping their friendship and makes her less of a basket case. So maybe that was part of the problem. You became a basket case and he retreated thinking, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? I was watching the program last night called Mom. I don't know if anyone's watched it. The mother was flirting with a guy she met in her substance abuse class who happened to be a lawyer. And she's been overly flirtatious and kind of convinced him to take her to lunch. They went to lunch one time, and the guy was not only smitten, he'd gone over the deep end, was crazy about her, could see himself marrying her after one date. Of course, that backed her way up. It backed her way up. But yet, when she went to talk to him and say, hey, look, I'm not ready for a relationship, and, you know, this is just being flirtatious and fun. And then, of course, she wanted him to take his clothes off, and they were going to get naked. That happens. It can't happen. In any event, she says now that she's lightened up a bit over the whole situation, now she's found herself happier. Good for you. And she's getting more men approaching her and asking her out. That kind of goes back to what I just said about standing tall. Being confident, putting out that confidence. People are attracted to that confidence. So when you have that kind of confidence, then the law of attraction brings you different people. And then going back to the overall conversation and things, so what's really come through on her relationship with her friend was that she has found out that she has a fear of commitment. Makes her feel claustrophobic and trapped in a way. Which is interesting because I get some people that have a little bit of interest, although I'm not 100% interested, so I keep reaching out trying to find new people to text with, email with. It's like I'm never satisfied, or I haven't found, you know, here I'm talking every week about not trying to put everybody in pigeonholes and trying to be flexible, but don't be so finite how you choose someone. Yet I'm doing just the same thing that I'm saying that we shouldn't be doing. I don't know what it is. I'm waiting for this magic wand to hit, yet I know it doesn't exist. But people reveal themselves pretty quickly when you're talking to them and how they interact with you. They show up late, they don't thank you for the beverages, they're rude to you when they talk to you. Those are all turnoffs for me. But I find myself in this routine of always reaching out to new people, but all of a sudden one day, boom, there it is. It's going to be sitting there staring me in the face. Highly unlikely that's ever going to happen. Melissa, just between you and I sent you this email. I know you're concerned about your friend because he's 23 years older than you. And it may just be casual fun. Good for you guys. You could be good friends with the opposite sex and have great sex too. I've had that a couple of times. It's fantastic to know that you can just meet up, have fun, have great sex, and be great friends, or meet up another time and just enjoy each other's company. But my ex-wife, when we got divorced, we were both 42, she left me. She moved in with her 18-year-old boyfriend. Now, they worked together at a business. It wasn't a school teacher and student type thing, like we've heard so much in the news. But they were together for 14 years. You know, it's not the relationship I'd want, someone dating a teenager. But they made it work. They made it work for 14 years. The only reason why it fell apart is he wanted a family and she couldn't have kids anymore. You know, so we all have our list of things that are problematic. And so, you know, you go back to you relaxing and enjoying a little bit more, Melissa. So I got this lady that goes off to Arizona and then comes back and expects me to show up and be present for her, quote unquote present. And then she disappears again. And, you know, to me, it's like, well, I really haven't got time for this. I mean, should I be excited that someone's paying attention to me? Yeah, but it feels like she's being way too needy. I mean, she tells me she doesn't really want a long-term dating partner, isn't looking to get married. But then when she's back in town, she expects me to flirt with her 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day so she knows that I'm still interested. Well, to me, that's not appealing. I don't need someone that is needy. I want somebody that wants me, desires me, of course, but I don't need to build them up every moment of every day so they feel good about themselves. I would hope that they just feel good about themselves and they can enjoy when we get together. Although in her case, it's problematic because she lives 2.5 hours away and she's renting a room in a house and doesn't want those people to know her personal life, so she says. When she lived closer to me and she's living with her uncle, she didn't want them to know her personal life then either. To me, I'm just kind of suspect. It's like, can't get her to spend the night. Oh no, they'd ask a bunch of questions. Really? And then she's got, if she leaves them, she leaves in her car dressed a certain way, like she normally does when she's living with them, and then she stops along the way and changes her clothes, which to me, that's just like, what are they trying to hide? I have this theory, and it always seems to play out, but what people do in one thing, they do in all things. So if they're deceitful to their friends and to their family, they're going to be deceitful to you. They're not honest. The littlest things, they're going to be honest. They're not going to be honest in major things. It's just who they are. And 9 times out of 10, it kind of plays itself out. I'm a lot like everybody else here. When we go out and date, I don't go there looking for the red flags. I ask basic conversations. How are you? Do you tell me why? How do you happen to be on this side? Tell me a little bit more about you. You know, how many kids do you have? How old are they? How are they doing? You have any pets? What do you like to do for fun? Hiking, biking, tennis, golf? Do you ski? Yeah, I'm just, I don't want it to sound like an employment interview, but, we want to kind of get to know each other. Well, you say you like wine. Do you like red or white? Do you have any favorite vineyards that you like? You're trying to find some common ground a little bit. Or, hey, what was the funniest thing that happened to you today? What was the worst thing that happened to you today? You learn a little bit more about how their personality is. And if they sit there and they don't look at you, or they won't even talk to you, yeah, that's a problem. This past week, I haven't done much with regards to meeting anyone. I did not get back to that Russian lady yet. I guess I could. Could go on a hike with her, I guess, and give it another shot. Although here in Seattle, it's raining, and I don't hike in the rain. Not even if I went and bought all the gear, I'm not going to hike in the rain. Doesn't seem that much fun walking in mud all day and slip and slide, so that doesn't appeal to me, but I might reach out there just to see. I will say, with you, I kind of chuckle on, like, I'm on Tinder and I'm on Bumble, and I match with people lately, and especially on Bumble, the women start the conversation. They sent me a text, "Hi, how are you? Happy Friday," like the one I got yesterday, and I get back to them, "Hey, how are you? Nice to hear from you. Happy Friday," and then I never hear from them again. So obviously, I was a shiny object for a second, and then they went on to the next one. To me, if you're going to open up the conversation on Tinder, the dating platforms, or Bumble, if you're going to open it up, finish it up. Say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I found somebody else," or whatever. But people just shut it down. And then I always follow up with one more, "Hey, so what's new and exciting?" Don't hear from them, and then I just close out the connection, because I'm not going to sit there and hang in limbo if someone doesn't have enough interest to further the conversation along. Goes back to what I said a little bit earlier today. People will reveal who they are, and out of the gate, we have to pay attention to that. So if I was willing to live with someone treating me that way out of the gate, how they're going to treat me 6 months from now, right? When the romance, the excitement has kind of lost its sparkle, right? So with that said, for any new listeners, you're welcome to send me an email. I'm at datingfunnies, DatingFunnies @gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Whole purpose initially for the new listeners for this podcast was to talk about funny dating stories, horror stories, things of that nature that we've all experienced. I'm not all that unique. What I experienced, a lot of you are experiencing the same thing. So this is just a vehicle in which to shout out to the world, this is what I'm running into, and maybe what I have to share with everyone here is something that you can chuckle about, maybe even learn from, and make us all better dating partners as we continue, even through COVID, of trying to meet, greet, instance. Until next week, this is Dating Funnies.